You have questions, we have answers. This is Jane Muller.
And this is Ken Muller. Welcome to our show, all about real estate with Ken and Jane. Today, Jane, we're going to talk about negotiations in real estate transactions. Negotiation, as with a lot of things, is a very important aspect in anything we do in life. You negotiate contracts, players negotiate with owners, and certainly in real estate transactions, from the home buying process, the home inspection process, everything involves a negotiation. So,
Ken, do you know who is the best negotiator? Your children.
Yeah, there you go, right. That children learn negotiation. It's almost like an inborn thing. They learn it naturally. At a young age, they learn by, even our daughter, I can remember when Maria was in the infancy stage, we used to put her in the crib, and then my parents, everyone would be around the table, and then she would start crying, and then she'd look out of the side of to see if there was any reaction, and if anybody, then eventually until she got picked up. So yeah. Kids have that inborn negotiation.
Yeah. She's not really crying. She's like, look at you and say, hey,
exactly.
Are you guys going to do anything?
I mean, she'd look out of the corner of her eye and just see if she gauged you to see if there's any reaction, right?
Yes.
That's exactly right. So negotiation, basically, what's the textbook definition? Negotiation is a process with two or more parties with differences try to reach, explore options to reach a common ground. Basically, each side takes a position, and then the position they have a specific demand. So the reason there's a lot of different strategies to negotiation. The typical negotiations back in the olden times was called distributive negotiation. That was where basically, each side held their position. They were only concerned with their needs. They took more of a combative approach. They said, this is what I want, and this is how much I'm willing to pay, and I don't care what the opposition's needs are. It's only me, what I want, and that's it. Now there's something that's called integrative negotiation. And integrative negotiation, it takes a more collaborative approach to the whole negotiation process. It's basically saying, hey, if you and I are negotiating, Jane, it'll say, let's do it on a friendly basis. I've got certain needs. You've got certain needs. Let's look at the factors. Let's decide what we agree on. There might be six points to our negotiation. We might agree on points 4, 5, and 6. It might be points 1, 2, and 3. Then we try to take that collaborative approach. I'll try to say, Jane, for points 1, 2, and 3, how can I help you get what you want? And you'll take the approach for how can I help myself get what I want.
In the short, nutshell, it's a win-win situation. You know, I think it's good in a lot of school is teaching the children with that skill. I remembered, you know, when our daughter is young in the school, and there was one day at the school, they have a project. If you like a chocolate ice cream, your friend like a strawberry ice cream, but hate strawberry ice cream. So at the end of the day, what's the choice, right? And then I think in that scenario, it depends how much your tolerance or your dislike of the chocolate ice cream. Because if you like strawberry, but, you know, you hate, you know, but you don't know whether you like it or dislike a chocolate, but your friend like chocolate, but hate strawberry. So that's like you have to see either you will eat the chocolate or you'll find a green tea, for example, right? Good for both. That's same thing with real estate, right? Sometimes when the husband and wife buying a house, if the one party strongly, strongly love it and the other party strongly, strongly hate it, don't buy that house. Because at the end of the day, you know, I mean, you both have to enjoy and have the good emotion and raise the family and enjoying your life together. But if one person really like it, the other person is okay with it, maybe possibility. I mean, obviously, there's a really great time you both love it. That's great. But most time, right, because we have different tastes, different preference, right? As you said, it's a win-win situation. What's most important for you at that point of time? And people change, taste change, right? So, but at that point in time, what's most is win-win. Yeah.
Right. And I think one of the important things of negotiation is not only they always say in the textbooks, you want to understand what the other side really wants. They they portray a particular position, but you have to understand what's their underlying, what's their motivation for that position. But equally important is understanding if you're the, if what your seller wants, what your buyer wants, what's most important to him or her, and that can help you achieve the desired result.
Yep. Having said that, there's a two part, Ken, I feel. One part is as a client, seller or buyer, right? Once you choose the agent, you should trust them. Tell them the truth. Put all the cards on the table. Don't hide from them. Because as a professional, your lawyer or agent, if they don't know the true situation, how can they protect you and help you to reach your goal, right? And the second part is if you talk to the professional like agent and a lawyer, and it's our job to and listen to you carefully, not only what you said, but underline what you meant. What's, you know, we may cover something you didn't realize, right? This other option. So that's two part. I did had a one experience many years ago. I represent a seller. They put a house on the market, didn't sell. And I mean, I'm talking about, over 10 years ago, there was a slow market. And they call me and I said, first thing I asked them, where are you moving to? Do you have anywhere to go? Because even though last time you may not had a good experience, but I am a really achiever. I just really task oriented. I will get job done for you, but I want to make sure you have a place to move to, have ready. Oh, don't worry. We have a friend. We got to put our house in the storage. If you get the money, it's important. Most important thing to us is the money, because we're retired. Don't worry about the anything else. We just put the things in storage. Husband and I, we're going to park in our girlfriend's spare room or in there. So they always not here anyway, so we're fine. Don't worry about us. Just focusing, get us a contract as soon as possible. Sure enough, put on the market, sold it, and went through the whole process. But at the end, the seller, you know, want to cancel the contract before the closing. And we said, how you can't? And the seller said, oh, because the buyer didn't close on the contract date. I said to them, in New Jersey, the contract date is approximately, the buyer have 10 days after either buyer and seller, if you don't close on the date, either lawyer can issue time of essence to give the other party 10 calendar days, right, to come. And then you can cancel the contract. But the mortgage delay is not fault of the buyer. They get the action together pretty quickly. They're ready in 3-5 days. I know it's annoying, but most of the contract doesn't close on the same day. And what's the matter? Oh, I just don't want to sell them. I said, you can't do that. You get sued. She said, no. I said, you better talk to your lawyer at that point. And the lawyer said same thing. And the seller didn't want to hear. Seller, fired a lawyer and just hire another lawyer. And then the buyer sued us. And then the seller had to fire the second lawyer, hire the third one, prepare for the court. That was very messy. At the end, it turns out the truth was when they call me, hire me, they know, I would get a result for them. So they want action because they verbally agreed a house in Florida buy from their friend. If the seller want to hold a card close to the chest, they feel if they tell the agent they want to buy a house, the agent will push them, give the house away, right? So they wanted more money, so they didn't tell me. I said to them, you should tell me. But at that time, they couldn't, and then the friend changed mind, sold the house to somebody else. At that point, if the seller told me they are buying a house, a handshake from a friend, there's two things I could do for them. First of all, I could put in a contract subject to their purchase, protect them. Secondly, I would advise them, friend is friend. They should put in a legal contract to protect you. In this case,
Or you could have even done something even a little bit more discreet. It's instead of saying subject to the purchase, subject to seller finding suitable place to relocate to.
Because that's,
I think,
right.
In your example, the seller figured they wanted to keep their cards close to the vest because they didn't want you as a list agent to know they already had found a place, and they didn't want that disclosed in the contract. because if you put in the contract that the seller is subject to seller closing on their home, then their fear would be that the buyer knows already that the seller has a place to go and they're kind of stuck and they have to move and, you know,
They have to give up the price, lower price, and give up more in the home inspection negotiation.
But had the seller consulted with you, you could have given them the advice to put in subject to the seller finding suitable, even though they already have found a suitable relocation. The buyer would not have known that, but at least it protects them contractually, and then they would have saved all the efforts of canceling and the threat of being sued because it would have been upfront disclosed and it would have been legally protected.
And the most important, I would advise them, I know you buy a house from your friend in Florida, but I would put in the contract and then go through the lawyer at the same time, right? Subject to selling your home, right? And I would advise her. But sometimes, right, negotiation, we only can do what we can do if we know what you try to achieve. So for the client, seller and buyer, in my opinion, it's always good to telling your agent, your lawyer, your true situation. So we, as a professional, can make a recommendation and a strategy to achieve what you want to achieve. If we do not know, and then that'll be hard to do.
Right. That's about asking the right questions. So we're going to take a short break, and then we're going to delve more into the appropriate questions to ask right after these messages.
A two-story building, approximately 5,100 square feet, with private offices and open spaces located in prime downtown New Brunswick, is available for lease. Yes, come on down and take a look. The building is zoned community commercial and has many permitted uses, including office, art gallery, theater, and music studio. To learn more about this property and more, contact Ken at 908-337-9448. That's Ken at 908-337-9448. A state-of-the-art building, approximately 3,000 square feet with a backup generator and plenty of parking, is available for lease. Located on the main thoroughfare in Hamilton Township, the building is zoned highway commercial and is suitable for retail, medical, office, education, and much more. To find out more and see if it fits your business and your needs, contact Ken at 908-337-9448. That's Ken at 908-337-9448. Attention to developers and contractors. Over 3 acres of land located at the heart of East Brunswick is up for sale. Great location and lots of potential. For further details, please contact Ken at 908-337-9448. You are listening to All About Real Estate with Ken and Jay Muller on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports, New Jersey. Now let's get back to the show.
Okay, welcome back. We're going to continue discussing the negotiation process. And Jane, one of the important things with negotiation is asking the right questions and asking specific questions so you get to know your client's needs, desires, and wants. And then likewise, when you negotiate with the other side, you have to ask the right questions. So in negotiation, there's something called, there's an acronym, as with a lot of things, called numeral. And numeral is a specific set of words that trigger certain questions that you should always be asking to your seller and also then to the buyer side. Numeral, the N is for needs. You have to know what the particular needs are for your client in any negotiation. The U stands for the urgency. You have to know when they need to sell or relocate by, or likewise, if representing the buyer, when do you need to close by? It could be by the end of the summer, for the school year, or it could be the end of their lease. Again, and some of this information is going to be confidential between you and your client. It's not necessarily going to be revealed to the other side, but it's going to be helpful. The more you know about anything in life, the better negotiator you can be.
They've developed this
methodology for helping elicit the right questions. Yep. Out of your client. The M, again, we're talking about numeral, which is an acronym. The M is motivation. What's the motivation for the seller selling? What's the motivation and the desire for the buyer
to purchase it?
Right. E is the expectation. If you represent the buyer, maybe a common question would be, does this house meet your current and future needs? Because if it doesn't meet your future needs, it kind of gives you an indication how vested they are, how committed they are in the house. It's kind of a gauge. Well, if they're not crazy about it, there may go into the contract, and there might be a more likelihood they could back out of it.
Yes.
So it's good. It's important to know the expectation. The R is equally important with any negotiation. It's your resources, and you normally get that up front. If you represent the buyer, you're going to have proof of funds for the cash down payment, or if they're paying cash, the entire proof of funds. And likewise, if they're financing, you're going to have at the very least a pre-approval letter. They have to have the resources, right? In any negotiation, if you don't have the money, there's going to be no honey.
That's right. No money, no honey. That's right. And when I was dating you, yeah. A lot of your friend told me you're rich. I'm still waiting for the money.
Well, that's why it's in a safe somewhere. I'm not going to give you the key. So there you go.
So that's why I stay in the marriage, right?
There you go. You're still looking for the safe. Right?
That's right.
Right. Here's another thing. Continuing with the numeral, the A stands for authority. And this can be important a lot of times, whether you're on a listing appointment. Obviously, a coach for the list agent is you want to have all the decision makers there. Likewise, if you're showing a buyer a home, you want to have the husband, and you definitely, absolutely, 110% want to have the wife there.
That's right.
That's a very common excuse. Oh, if you show the house and the decision maker, the person with the power, is not there, you're not going to get too far in the negotiation process, because it's going to require, oh, I have to check with my wife, which is that's a common theme, right, that you hear that resonates.
I remember I have an agent, it's so funny. He said, Jane, what's wrong with this your Asian women? I said, what do you mean? What's wrong with us? He said, I have a client. She wants to see a house. I said, we should have your husband with you together. By the way, they're looking for investment property, not for what they're leaving, the investment property. She said, oh, no, my husband busy. My husband at work. I mean, I make a decision, no problem. He doesn't care, I can go. And every time I show her house, I ask her, what do you think? And she always said, oh, I don't know, I have to ask my husband. I asked her before, you should have your husband with us. She said, no need. And now she told me she have to ask her husband. What's that deal? I said to him, she doesn't like the house.
Exactly. That's right.
She doesn't want to say no to you because you've been pushing her. Are you ready? Make offer. What's wrong with this? And let's go. And she's very polite. She said, I have to ask my husband.
Right.
So you got to, and once again, go back to what you said, Kate. You have to understand your client. You have to understand their need and fulfill it beautifully in a timely manner. And as professional as possible, that's very important. But understand
and the last,
your client.
Let me just finish this. And the last letter in numeral, the L, stands for loyalty. You have to basically, and that's more comes into play, I guess, with the agent and the seller, or between the buyer agent and the seller agent, where you basically you come to an agreement, and then it's basically now if you say to the other side, now if we come to an agreement, can I be assured that you're going to fulfill your part of the bargain, and can I be assured that I'll fulfill my part of the bargain? That's where the loyalty comes in this whole thing.
That's right. The loyalty, not only you to your client, also you to the other side. Just example, we just had a deal. We had a multiple offer and did the final one the best. One buyer came up, very good. I wouldn't say the highness, but a few pretty close by. And we will start negotiation and with the top three buyers, obviously. So the owner said, if you do this, you do X, right? And we're going to accept you. And the buyer stepped up, said, yes, I would do that. In the meantime, after that, because we have to tell everybody else, I'm sorry, unfortunately, you didn't make it. One of others and jumped back and said, no, I want it. I want it. I want to pay more. So at that point, the seller said, well, I may take the other one, right? Which is understand, at the end of the day, money is money. The owner has to, need the fund, and someone offer like $10,000 more. I mean, that's not a small amount. And the seller chose them. And then I have to inform this, they're waiting for the contract. What's going on? I said, unfortunately, the seller chose another buyer. And this one went up another $10,000. So at that point, I said to the seller, do not swing back and forth. I mean, that's called good faith. I think first time I agree, money is money. But if you keep doing this, at the end, we may lose both, okay? So we went with you know, the one, the original went up and went up again. So the seller and I, you know, feel, you know, I mean, once again, I said, that's your house. My job is to bring as offer as many qualified offer as possible for you to choose from. And at the end, the seller, whole family had a meeting about it. At the end, they awarded the contract, which they believe the buyer in good faith came up the first time and the second time, because they felt, even though later on they had a lot of other offer the same, but without this particular buyer family, they are not going to get there, okay? So that's why they feel their loyalty, the seller feel their loyalty is to this family buyer. That's why they accept them. They went forward. They said, I don't care how much other people pay me. This is, we're happy with it. So that's come back to like negotiation. That's right. The loyalty.
So a lot of these factors come into an agent like yourself who does negotiation on a daily basis, an hourly basis. These factors are coming to play just subconsciously. They're always in play. We could take that example from last summer where, for the seller's perspective, they had an offer that was maybe that, I mean, the house listed was the contract prices came in well over asking price, yet the seller picked the motivation, and the seller wasn't getting the squeezing and getting the highest dollar, which is getting a very good offer that waived the appraisal contingency. Remember the example
yes.
that we gave in the prior show where the seller, the list price was $899, contract prices came in at $980 and as high as $990. But the motivation for the seller was he picked the couple picked the $980, the lower, not the highest offer, because they were motivated to sell and wanted the sure thing, where the 990 had more contingencies in place with the appraisal. If it appraised, yep. if it didn't appraise at a certain price, yep. the buyer could back out, and they just felt comfortable. So that gets, you have to understand, especially if you're a list agent, you have to understand all the factors that play behind the seller's mind. And you want to get that up front so you know what their thinking patterns are, and you can help them reach the best decision based on what their needs are and their motivation is.
Absolutely. Money is not always everything, right? Money is good, but at what price to get that extra money? So you have to understand what's most important to your client. Some clients said, I just want the money. That's it. I don't care how up and down. Other client will say they care about the process. They rather choose a buyer, more sure thing, and reasonable. So during the process is more smooth ride. So once again, and the time frame too, a lot of time if they have a new house to be built, they like the closing date to be flexible, because you never know, you know, whether the new house can be built on time. So it's right. all variables.
And that's where resources comes into play, that not only is it important to prove the financing, but that's where the cash resource versus the mortgage resource, where the cash resource can trump the mortgage resource and hold a value that could be a lesser price, because they want the certainty.
Yes.
So it all comes down to the expectation, the motivation, the resources. There's all these factor in the loyalty, how committed, who they feel most comfortable with. They may have a certain feeling of a comfort or loyalty to a certain family, or, you know, yep. based on the
good feeling.
Yep. Yeah.
And talk about good feeling, right? Sometimes most cases when the buyer and the buyer agent came to see the house, seller is not there, right? How do they give the seller the good impression, good feeling? The first offer is very, very important.
Yes, that's what they say, and that we've experienced that firsthand. But they say usually the first offer should be a very genuine and, you know, high offer, because if the first offer is way off the ballpark, a lot of times the sellers are going to lose interest in that buyer. Even if they come up dramatically, then it sets a bad feeling in there that the buyer is really not genuine about wanting to pay yep. close to the yep. asking price.
Just give an example, right? If the house asking price $550, just say, right? And I mean, first offer, we don't mean the first offer. I'm just mean the buyer's initial offer. It's not first offer.
No, it's the first offer generated by the buyer.
Buyer initial offer. Say, if we asking price $550, and then one buyer A give $540. Offer B, $500. Offer C, give $560, right? So $540 is a $10,000 lower asking. $560 is a $10,000 over asking. And then the other one is the second one give a 50,000 lower, right? And then because they don't know how many offer we got, the buyer side, when the listing agent discuss with seller, decide to call final on the best, they know it's multiple, so you doesn't matter how many, you're against each other and have to race, right? And say if the 540 came up to 570, mm-hmm. 560 went up to 565, which is 5,000 less mm-hmm. than the other one. And the 500 jumped to 600. Most likely the seller wouldn't take the 600. Why? Because they feel initial offer of 500. What make you suddenly jump so high? That means during the home inspection, you're going to try to get the money back. You just try to trick us to sign to get the money back.
And also, there's a loyalty factor. They're not sure. Basically, by jumping 100,000, coming up so low, there's the fear that basically that the buyer is going to jump off at some point and back out
yes.
because it's just such a dramatic increase. It's not a, it's yep. it doesn't make sense. It's almost like the buyer is reacting. Is being
just
reactive.
Want to win.
You just
yeah.
want to win, and you know, but it's not thinking it through rationally.
Yes.
So there's a
yes.
fear of them of them not being loyal, committed to the process.
That's right. So on the other hand, the one offer 560, right, is a 10,000 over asking. So the seller already appreciate that, right? And then give another 5,000 more. Even the other one 540 went up 570. Sometimes the seller still chose the lower one, you know, so that's really, you know, that's really shows, right? First offer, I always say the higher the initial offer, the lower the buyer gonna get the contract. The higher initial offer, the lower they would get the contract. On the seller side, just opposite. The higher the asking, obviously now it's crazy market.
Yes, I mean,
generally in regular market, the higher the asking price, possibly the lower end contract. The lower asking price, they beat it up session. Doesn't matter, it's a high market, low market. So they will possibly get more with the beating process. Yes.
Right. So I think we're almost out of time, but I think we covered a lot with negotiations. Obviously, when you negotiate with the other side, you have to develop a strategy.
Yes.
You have to have the ability to ask relevant questions following the numeral. That's a good guideline. A lot of you do it instinctively without even knowing that the numeral is actually embedded in what you're asking.
Yes.
And you want to be able to work with the other side. That's the collaboration is important. And then lastly, we really didn't touch upon this, but to be a good negotiator, you have to have all those traits. And most importantly, you have to know your market. You have to know your ins and outs, what
Absolutely.
The value is as well. If you don't know the market, all the other stuff isn't going to be useful. This is all the other stuff is the icing on the cake. All right. So thank you, Jane. We're out of time. Hope everyone enjoyed the show and we'll see you next week. Have a great weekend.
Have a good weekend.
You have been listening to All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane Muller, airing every Sunday at 10 a.m. on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports, New Jersey. For feedback and suggestions for future topics, go to their Facebook page, All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane, or email them at realestatewithkenandjane@gmail.com or call 732-898-2266.